Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the spiritual world, the life after the soul's ghosts, as many people will say, or how about talking to our loved ones after they've passed on, or how about when they decide to come back into our world and try to poke us and want to be human again. Is this just a one-way road, or is this perhaps, we're saying, it could be a swinging door? Can you have a conversation with the other side? Can they talk with you? Can they share moments with you? And you could say, hey, I'm so glad you're still around. Just wanted to celebrate the moment with you. And thumbs up. Today my guest is Concetta Bertoldi. Her book is I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. And she is a psychic medium, and she will be able to share all of her stories to help you if you're now being able to say, I'm hearing things, I'm sensing things, what's going on, I want to reach out, find more answers, and be able to see how I can become more expansive in my connection with the spirit world. Concetta, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I just have to say, you have one of the most soothing, beautiful voices I have heard in a long time. You make me feel calm just listening to you.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, sometimes I think it comes across, and sometimes I think that depending on the topic, like we're a little frantic, but today is just my realm, you know?
There you go. Well, you sound great to me.
Oh, thank you. You know, Concetta, don't you think that sometimes when we say, what's going on in the world around me, and is this just the human thing? You know, I had someone say to me one time, they said, I was sharing a story, and they're like, you know, you just need to come back to reality. You know, this is what the world is all about. You have to do A and B and C and D, so get over it. And I went, okay, so I can see what world you're in, and
right.
I'm in a different one.
Yes. Exactly.
Don't you think that sometimes we say, how can we own or feel these things and be okay with it? As now, you know, in 2019, people are starting to share these.
I think it's a wonderful thing, too. And I think it's because, of course, the way we've evolved, obviously, from history. And if it was the 1700s, we'd be down at the town square right now. They'd be building a little fire. But here's what I know. It's about time, because we are evolving intellectually and spiritually. And I think that is the biggest new improvement in this coming century, and that is people's spirituality. It's like the latest discovery. And I think that people are finally saying to themselves, is it possible? Is it true? And they're asking themselves versus relying on what other people and their negativity might be towards it. So I think it's a good thing.
You know, it's funny you said about that in the square in the 1700s. Well, I live in New Orleans, and I've lived here for many decades. And I had fire last December. And I know I was totally protected because the fire went all the way, you know, several hundred yards the other way.
Oh, my.
And I was only 9 inches away from it, but it didn't come at all my way. And I said, I was going through these motions and everything. And finally, at the end, I said, burned at the stake. Got it. Here comes my past life wanting to just connect with me, touch with me, and let me know about it, you know?
Wow.
And I think sometimes people say, we're having such crass events coming up in our life. We're stumbling. We're having pain. We're having suffering. We're having loss and grief and everything. And why is this happening? I almost see it as though it's almost like our golden thread of our spiritual life, of our soul, is looping back and saying, oh, let's just go around for one more pass and see if we really did clear all that karma, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think what I tell people whenever they say something to me about something horrific that they know someone else did or what's going on in the world, I remind them that in past lives, each and every one of us has done horrible things.
Right.
We've evolved from things and learned lessons. We've come a long way. But I think every soul has experienced things in past lives that they might be ashamed of today. Now, that's not a bad thing because, I mean,
right.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying we shouldn't hold on to that guilt from lifetimes ago. We should let it go and move forward and learn from whatever it is we feel we might have experienced in past lives.
Right. You know, I think it's interesting when we say that because when past lives, sometimes let's say in this lifetime we're having feeling like our husband's going out on us all the time, or maybe you've had relationships that weren't quite right. And you say, maybe in my past life I was that other person doing it, or maybe I was that man experiencing it.
Mm-hmm,
sometimes
mm-hmm.
people get so stuck with the idea of, how does our spirit life show up? Do we always show up as male and female, good and bad? Were we always the, you know, the angel that we were supposed to be?
Right.
You know, when in essence, it could be all sides of the story, right?
Oh, absolutely agree. And you're on the same track as I am. And we'll never have the full story because it belongs in our past lives and it belongs in our spiritual growth and it belongs in our karma. But what we have to take responsibility for is what we're doing today, now. And that's what we have to work with. And if we have, I know you're very intelligent and obviously a very spiritual woman, so I know you understand that someone can hold on to anxieties from past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I do as well, and I work on all the time trying to heal from. And I know that you probably would agree that my faith and God is most important when it comes to that, most important.
Absolutely. You know, I had an author on here, and she was writing a story about New Orleans and the brothels and stuff. And all of a sudden I said to her, I'm so connected to you. I don't know what's going on. And I said, oh, I don't know. I said, my name is Savannah Day in the past. She says, oh, you must have been one of my girls. And I went, we laughed and we joked and we said it was cool and we went on. You know, it's, I think the idea of connection, sometimes people will say, I don't know what came out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I felt that or why did I engage in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sometimes your soul has something else it'd like to speak and it wants to show up however it'd like to show up. It doesn't always show up how you think it may show up.
Oh, that was so beautifully said, Dr. Jeanette. It really was. I can tell you've really educated yourself because that was just beautifully said. Yes, and so easy to understand what you just said. Sometimes I stumble on that, so I love that. Yes, I think that there are many times that we find ourselves, I guess someone might call it deja vu, you know, but you would also realize that there are some times in your life, even myself, where it doesn't happen often, but where you behave in a way where you say, it was out of character for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wonder why. I wish I didn't feel this way because it's not the norm for me to feel this way. And I do believe that there are things that surface from many past lives at different times in our
lives. Don't you think, though, our human existence is what society put into a box and says this is who you are, when our soul existence is saying you are so much more than that? In other words, you as being a medium, you could have been a clown, you could have been a duck, you could have been a fish, you could have been, you know, a stage star, you could have been a singer, you could have been a wife, a mother, all these things. Yet we think that we are just this entity in this moment. We get so stuck in the language of the human existence of this time that we can't see beyond it. And I think when you see beyond it, it's sort of like all of a sudden something clicks and you go, I just can't get enough of everything. Do you find that experience?
Yes, because I think it's just natural that, especially in our world as humans in the flesh, we do tend to put things in a box. And we make that category that box. So, yeah, we have, that's what they mean when they say think outside the box, because there's way more to it than what meets the eye. And that's where I think what you said in the beginning of your program about how today society is venturing outside of that. And that's where I'm thrilled, because there's answers when you think outside the box.
In your book, again, your book is called I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. You also talked about religion for a little bit. And I think just we briefly touch on this. You wrote religion is basically a tool for our spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And I say so many times to people, they say, why did I end up with this addiction? I said that addiction is a tool on your path, period. And I think sometimes if we can take that and see that for what it is versus saying it is my addiction, isn't your addiction, it's a tool to bring you along the path, mm-hmm. you know? And same thing with religion. A religion is a process, a dogma, a societal kind of perception so you can understand it, but it's really bringing along your path to your soul growth or bringing you to your God or your spirit or whatever that is. Don't you think tools show up a lot on our paths, but sometimes we take them on and we think that they are, we almost overlay with them, and it's almost like we're hugging them all the time like a blanket, yeah. and we got to carry them with us, right?
Right. Well, for me personally, to be hugging God all the time is not a bad thing. But
right.
I will say to you that I have always believed that we did not come to earth to be perfect. We came here to be faithful. We came here to be faithful to God. And I just want to say this for your listeners, because I don't want to leave anybody out. When I say that, folks, I mean whatever your religion is, because it doesn't matter to me. I believe in all of them. So long as they love other people that are different than them, I love them. And I would rather sit down to seven different holidays from seven different religions and enjoy them than be mean and ugly and say that's not who we are and that's not the way we do it. No, I want you to know that so long as someone doesn't say to me, my God is better than your God, we're
right.
good. And I'll celebrate yeah. with you and have a wonderful time, because it all comes down to the same thing. And that is simply, God is real, God loves us. And we just have
right.
to hug God, as you said, in our hearts.
Yeah.
Stay plugged into God, and
yeah.
you'll be all right.
And it's sometimes you can let go of some of the tools, you know. I know for myself, I don't really see gender or race or religion or color or any of these other things. I never have. I grew up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people will say, but there's over there and there's here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're able to start shedding that separation thought, that's when you're able to start sharing or thinking about spirit or loved ones on the other side, and also about entities and thoughts and how angels might work. And when you're able to start opening up to that, then you say, oh, now I see it. Maybe I am a little bit more connected to the person next to me or the one down the street, or
mm-hmm.
maybe we can have a conversation because
mm-hmm.
we are in the same space, right?
Yes, ma'am. And again, well put. And just one more thing I would add to what you said, because I would say what you just said, but I would add one more thing, and that is don't hold it against, all right, I'll use myself. I don't
mm-hmm.
hold it against myself that there are certain fears that come to my human mind and my human flesh
right.
that I get frightened. I wrote in this book, I think you remember, where I wrote about how I go to Dunkin' Donuts and all
yeah.
the girls in there are all Muslims. So I was at some point very, very frightened of Muslims. I
mm-hmm.
mean, after things that have happened in our country and around the world, it's obviously something that frightened a lot of people, and I'm not alone. So that happened. So when I would go into the Dunkin' Donuts, I was scared, and I was uncomfortable, and I was uneasy with these women. And slowly, because I go all the time, I'm a Dunkin' Donuts addicted person, so I would slowly start to talk to these women. And slowly but surely, they would talk back to me. And all of a sudden, they became friends, because they would say hi. They would say, oh, I love your earrings. And, oh, I love your lipstick. And we would just chat like women, like girls. And
right.
all of a sudden, I realized they were beautiful women. And I sometimes feel very badly for them, because I feel bad that they, you know, can't enjoy, I'm sure, some of the girly things outside in the world that we can. But that's their choice. I respect it. But on the other hand, I liked them. And I started
right.
to find myself saying, wow, she's not a bad person. She's
yeah.
not hating me. she's not judging me. I mean, and it just slowly started to melt the ice around me, you know. So,
right.
But I didn't get mad at myself for feeling that way, because I look at myself and realize at all times, I'm in the human form. I'm here to experience these things. I'm here to learn from these things, and I have free will. So what I do with it is my choice. But fortunately, I made the right choice, you know, mm-hmm. to overcome my fear. But I also am not going to begrudge myself for being human. I'm just not going to.
Right. You know, it's interesting. When you shared that story, I almost had a thought of they were pretty much put there so that you could have that experience of releasing the
mm-hmm.
fear. But
mm-hmm.
also you were put there so they could experience the jewelry that they might not have been able to
yeah.
wear, right?
Yeah.
I think if we can make so light of our experience.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that easier?
I love that they're learning, too. I agree with you, because I do
yes.
believe that every one of us is teaching and learning all at the same time, and we don't even know when it's happening half the time. So, yes, and I wonder where the world will be 100 years
right.
from now, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk for a second about seeing dead people, ghosts, spirits, and people on the other side. You know, last week I had such a tumultuous week. I had to cancel all of my radio shows and interviews because I had a birth, a death, and a crisis at the same time.
Oh,
and I went,
my.
Oh, my goodness. But
wow.
I had this dream prior to it, and there were little bits and pieces of it, and then the
mm-hmm.
birth and the death happened, and then I had another dream, and then I had put some pieces together, and even just today, I finally said, now I can see in retrospect or reflecting back, a piece of this went here, and that went there, and that went
mm-hmm.
there. Don't you think sometimes when loved ones pass on, we want to connect the dots, talk about them all the time. We want to seek out people who will give us the right answers that our head or our heart is looking for. And sometimes it's time to just step back too, take those messages, and connect the dots later when we are able to see it clearer. Yes?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, you know, it's like anything else in life. When you go through something, whether it be a tragedy or whether it be something that was heartfelt and wonderful, or just want to talk over something that is on your mind, you always seek out somebody who would hopefully give you good advice. So, yes, we're humans. We want to talk. We want to communicate. We want to share. And we all ultimately all want to learn. And change, I would like to believe. Now, does everybody change from what
right.
they learn? No, obviously
yeah.
not. And I think that has to do with why we come back.
A few different times.
Right.
But you know what? I've also, too, thought about that many times. And I had a conversation one time with someone. And I said, perhaps because in this lifetime, we aren't here for ourselves. We are here to shine that experience for someone else.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're teaching and learning all at the same time. Yeah, there's so much more to it than we could ever figure out, for sure.
Right. Well, like, let's talk about for a second about addictions and things. You know, I know for yourself and myself, I mean, with this intuitive stuff and you know, being mediums and stuff, it's the idea of I used to take medications and things for migraines and in the hospital and stuff like that. And it was like, oh, these just don't resonate with me really well. This
yeah.
is not a good thing. I think sometimes when you become more open, you say, I see more of the spirit world. However, I've also spoken to a lot of people who had addictions, and they said, I saw something. I saw a spirit. I saw a ghost. I felt something. Something tapped me, and there was no one there, and then they go into an addiction versus being able to go the spiritual side to be able to figure it out. Don't you think that's like almost like the it's almost like a witch's brew that's kind of concocting around in a circle. It's like, okay, here's this piece and here's how that goes, and then you hope that it's going to come out in the end.
Well, you know, it's hard to respond to that what you just said only because I'm not sure if we're talking about somebody who's under the influence of hallucination or THC. You know, that's a little different story.
Right.
But I can tell you that I know and I've met many people, especially in my work, who have experienced the other side. And I have personal folks. I mean, I don't think I wrote about this one. I just realized that. My assistant, who has been with me for many years, but also been my friend for 30 years, her mother just had a near-death experience, and I know her mother for as long as I know her, which is almost 30 years. And her mother was in a foreign country, fell, broke her hip. She was in the ambulance in excruciating pain, and she came home from there after having surgery there and told my assistant, Ellen, she said, you're not going to believe what happened. Conchetta's right. And she told how she was in the ambulance and she lifted above, and this woman has a pacemaker, has a heart condition. She lifted above and was way up in the sky, or way up high, I should say, and in another dimension. And she saw the most beautiful rainbow she had ever seen, and many of her relatives and loved ones who had passed away. And she was so euphoric and out of pain. And it was at that moment that she said, no, I can't stay. I want to stay with my daughter and my grandson and my husband. I don't want to come yet. And she was at that moment, swish, she said, and back in her body, and the pain was back in full force. But she said, I no longer am afraid to die. I know where we go from here. So, you know, these experiences I hear all the time. That one just happened to mean a lot to me, too, because it was personal. It was a friend of mine who I know did not believe in what I – not that she didn't believe in what I do. She loves me. She likes me. It's my girlfriend's mother, that is. She loves me, likes me a whole lot, and I know that because I feel the same about her. But she just wasn't sure about everything that I believe in and everything that I do. So when she came back from that experience, she couldn't wait to tell my friend, my God, Conchetta's right. And it just made me feel so good for her to have known that, you know, after all these years of me saying all these things.
Right. Don't you think that sometimes you find, I know for myself, I've worked with people decades ago, probably some of them even 3 and 4 decades ago, and I'll meet them and they'll say, you know, you told me something about 4 decades ago, and I never did it. I thought you were crazy. But boy, you know what? I'm doing it now. Don't you think that sometimes we say, are the messages and the words that we hear always for this moment, or can they just be hear them, absorb them, be aware of them, and they'll have their own divine timing?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. I think that timing is crucial in every single incident. And I know you know this, Dr. Jeanette, I know you do, but we'll say it for your listening audience. Everything that has happened to us in our lives have meaning and purpose around the timing, because for some reason, when anything happens to us, there's something attached to it that we at the moment do not see. And perhaps years from then or time from now, when we look back at it, we realize what the possibilities were of why it happened when it happened. And yes, timing is always a part of why. Always.
Right. I think this is really important to focus on for a second. You share in your book, again, the book is I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. You share and say all the time, the other side is complete peace, even bliss. There's no pain and sorrow. All is forgiven, all is love. And I think that's very, very important for people. Many times they say, I don't really know. I want to know if my passed on loved one is okay. And we're always like, yeah, they're okay. And I've even, you know, working with end-of-life clients, they would be pushing themselves to force themselves to stay in the human form because they were afraid of going to God or afraid of going to the other side. Don't you think when you can hear that it is complete peace and love and bliss on the other side, and there isn't pain and suffering, don't you think that's freeing to many souls?
Oh, exactly what I just said, sure. And that's what I meant about my girlfriend's mother. She was finally, because she had a near-death experience before this. She nearly died before this. Her heart had stopped 5 years ago, and that's why she had the pacemaker. But when her heart stopped, for 35 minutes, it was a miracle that she came back. And they said she was like one of, in history books, millions that she came back with no brain damage, everything. But the point was she saw nothing. And she said to me, when I went to visit her, I saw nothing, there was nothing. And I said, well, you saw something, honey, you just don't remember. But she didn't believe that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think that her now having this experience, having saw something, it eliminated the fear completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know that so many people who've had near-death experiences always say the same thing. I'm not afraid anymore. I don't fear it anymore. I know what's there. So, yes, there is something to be said for having shared these experiences and people hopefully
Right, because I think
panic.
The idea that the human experience is really just, it's almost like a marketing ploy, you know. Society has created caskets and funerals and life plans and blah, 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 blah. And even, you know, doctors will come on my show and they'll say, well, we're going to plan for a good death. And I'm like, huh? I don't get it, you know. And I think the idea is that if we can help by this show also is to help ease and share stories of the other side and this side, and it is a dance, and, you know, eliminates, at least bring down the level of fear for some, I think that's truly a gift, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that, because so many people tell me that about my work, and it's hard for me to, I will not pat myself on the back, as I should say, and I will always remain humble, because I think being humble is a sign of a noble soul. But personally, I totally agree with what you're saying. But I will say the most important thing for me in my work, the most important, and that's on the list, making people not be frightened. But I think the most important thing for me personally is for folks to know that God is real.
Right.
And that always choose God in your life, because that's the big guns in town, as they say.
Right.
You know, God will never disappoint you. God will never stop loving you. God will always be there and never desert you. That is my most favorite part of my work. Now, the side effect is having folks know, don't be afraid to go home. You know, the best is yet to come. This place is Camp Earth. That place is home. Don't be frightened. If I could help folks with that too, then that's just a bonus. But my favorite is to tell them, don't you worry. Just choose God. You're going to be okay.
I think it's almost like fear has this neon sign outside your door, and sometimes, you know, you can't let God in. And I think when you sometimes can help others reduce some of that fear, then they're able to allow him in.
Right.
It's almost like your heart starts to melt. Once your heart melts, I mean, it has nowhere else to go but find source. But to find, you know, the cause of who am I, where am I going, who am I connected to, and, you know, really find that deeper soul connection. So once you can kind of almost, if you and I can dim the lights, sometimes then they're able to open on their own. And I think when they open on their own, don't you think it's almost like you see flowers growing everywhere
Absolutely.
All of a sudden?
Absolutely, yeah. It's like the light. It's like the light went on in a closet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as far as what you just said a moment ago, I'm going to add to that as well. You're so right about the neon sign of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a neon sign of fear, which is most every single human on Earth has, normal people anyway, you can also put the neon sign right next to that says guilt, because these are our two favorite things to carry around in our backpack, you know.
Right.
It just seems as humans we carry around, we're frightened and we feel guilty about this. And those two things are crippling to some people. You know, actually, the ones that people carry around fear and guilt, I understand them. I can be friends with them. The ones who don't have fear and they don't have guilt, they wouldn't be able to be my friends anyway, because that person would scare me. But I try to minimize folks with their guilt and saying, please, don't feel guilty. Guilty can never be a good thing, but on some level, it might make you do the right thing. So it's very hard for me to put that into words, because I know that I don't want people to walk around feeling guilty about something forever, because it's going to hurt you. But if it makes you feel guilty that you don't steal that pack of gum because it doesn't belong to you and you didn't pay for it, so be it. Feel guilty. Don't take it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, in closing, Conchetta, I wanted to share a story, and you could share how it works in your life also, is that when we talk about people start to say, my loved one passed on and they seem to be showing up, or I'll find something little around the house, or I have a sense that they're still here. Yesterday, my husband came home. He works with life insurance. He called his client, and he was going to go pick up their payment for today. And he called, and the woman says, oh, this is her granddaughter. She passed on Sunday. And he said, oh, you know, okay. And he started going through his ritual and stuff. Last night, he was trying to go to sleep, and I think it was just like a minute before midnight, and he's bouncing around. I can't lay still. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, oh, okay, finally, you woke me up. Okay, so it's Henrietta. She just wanted to let you know she's so sorry she won't be there tomorrow to give you her payment, and you know she's going to miss you. And he's like, you know, complaining. And I'm like, look, if you don't acknowledge her and you don't talk to her, she's going to keep coming back. And she just, it was like a little old woman about 90. You know, I said, just acknowledge her. Just say, hey, Henrietta, I'm going to miss you too, honey, and I'll take care of your cats. You know, and I think sometimes if we can say, what are we feeling or seeing when others pass away? And how can we understand that a little bit more? I think by you and I sharing these stories, this is how we can start becoming a little more aware, yes?
Yes, 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 because it gives other people a form of permission to do exactly what you just said, because they won't feel odd, they won't feel crazy, mm-hmm. and, you know, they won't feel stupid about it. They'll say, it's normal. Because why? Because right. we don't die. And because they're still here. They're still in the air you breathe. So that's how close they are. So acknowledge them. That's all. And say to yourself, they can help you because they're in a beautiful place. When we're here on earth, we're a piece of God. Once we die, we become one with God. So I always mm-hmm. encourage people, talk to those you've loved and lost because they are willing to help you. They want to be involved.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to touch on for a second, I know mm-hmm. Our time is coming to the end, but I wanted to say about this is people will say, oh, I know my loved one passed on. Oh, now I can go do the things I wanted to do. Or, hey, you know, I'm going to go do those things that they were always telling me I shouldn't do kind of idea. And they will come up to you and they will ask you the question, is my loved one over there seeing what I'm doing now? And then that's almost like a reverse casting shame and guilt. You know,
yeah,
it's almost like,
yeah.
oh, well, now I can't do it because they're watching me from over there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I've heard you that know? A lot. As a matter of fact, my first book is called Do Dead People Watch You Shower? And the reason I called it that is because people really worry about that.
Yes,
you
they
know,
do.
They worry, can they see us? Do they know? You know, they, and I hear the funniest questions about that. You know, are they in the shower with us? Are they in the bedroom with us? I mean, it's hysterical. But keeping in mind that they don't see the body in the flesh the way they would be looking at it. They would be a peeping Tom here. Where they are, that's it's not the same. They don't look at it that way. People don't mind if God watches them. They just don't want their grandmother to watch them. It's that simple.
Right, because that is very important. A lot of times people strive very intently in their life to hide things from others, and then they feel when the chain is broken, the people have passed on, then now they're able to be free. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's sad. I feel bad for people who think that way. I really do, because that's telling me that they had to live their life sort of like a lie until somebody they cared about died. That kind of sounds like that, you know. And you had to wait till it's like somebody telling me I didn't want to go out with anybody until my mother died because she needed me. Well, that's a kind of a sad love, isn't it? She didn't want you to have the happiness you deserve while you were here. I mean, it's kind of sad. I don't know. And you're going to do it once they're gone? That's a whole other book. That's a whole other subject.
Right. Because I think sometimes, too, it you know, a lot of people with choosing genders or people that are choosing a loved one or what, you know, I mean, you and I mean, let's look back at the 50s and 60s when we grew up. There were certain things you just didn't do.
Right.
You know? And I mean, you know, and somewhere in the back of our Rolodex in our head, we can still call up some of those. And if we go to do it in this lifetime, we say, oh, gosh, I see that in the Rolodex. That was 1954, and they didn't do it either.
Yes,
you know?
That's so true.
Right.
That is so true. And you know what we say, Dr. Jeanette, you and I? Boy, the world sure has changed, hasn't it?
Isn't it?
And I'm sure our parents did and said the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, Conchetta, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. In your book, you said, I kissed a ghost, and I liked it. You have one chapter, and it says, let your freak flag fly, UVU. Uh-huh. And I wrote on the top of it is, strive to be as unique as possible. And isn't
Very
that
good.
Our goal?
Very good, sweetie. That's exactly right. Be who you are. And remember that God loves you. Love yourself. That's it.
Absolutely.
As long as you're not hurting anybody else, be who you are. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. I'll tell you, I have a zillion other stories. We're going to have you back, yes?
Oh, that's wonderful, Dr. Jeanette. You're a very lovely lady. It was my pleasure to talk to you, too. You're just right on my page, I should say. So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend ahead, sweetie.
And you as well. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Of course. I am on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I have a website. And it's just my name, Conchetta Bertoldi. .com, and if they Googled me, they'd find numerous ways to see what I'm doing, where I'm going to be appearing, and such, and book signings and so forth. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, yes. You're so welcome. Well, Conchetta, we'll have to have you on another time. So
I hope so.
It
would be a
you.
Pleasure to talk to you, darling. Again, thank you, and I send you a big hug and a big kiss.
Oh, you as well. Thank you.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye. If you'd like to find out more information about Conchetta Bertoldi, again, her book is I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It, please just click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. And if you're starting to have some experiences, you're not quite sure what they're about, reach out, ask others, share your stories, or you can always dial me up, check out my website and be able to say, hey, I need someone to talk to. This is going on. Can we just girl chat? Absolutely. Check out my website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. And today, have a wonderful day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.